Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of Double DM Podcast, where we will be talking about, I have no idea, the ideal session prep, being prepared, as I am not every single time we do a recap. So yeah, we will be talking about session prep, what you should prepare, what you shouldn't prepare, and why this thing is obviously, as always, highly unique to you as a person and you as a dungeon master. But there is some advice out there that can be said about making your session prep a lot better. It's not necessarily that you should prep less or prep more or what you should exactly prep, but there are a few things that we can definitely teach you about doing more session prep. Trust me, everyone does session prep their own way, and everyone does it a little bit wrong and a little bit right. But now let's figure out what the ideal session prep is. What is the best, obviously? And obviously we have the answer to that because we have all the answers in the universe.
Yeah.
But first, as every week, I need to ask my co-host how he is doing. So, Niels, how are you doing?
Thanks for the clarification who your co-host is. but yeah, I'm
People good. Might not know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm good. Tomorrow, or at point of recording, tomorrow's the last day of work until I have 1 week of vacation. So that's good. Can't wait for that. I'm hyped for my birthday next week.
Mm-hmm.
When this episode releases this week, I guess. Yeah, this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, in a good mood, a little bit of a headache currently, but that's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. But how about you?
I am also on vacation already.
Nice.
As I don't work a 6-day work week, but only a 5-day work week. Mm-hmm. And today, as it's International Women's Day, which is a holiday here in Berlin, I am already on my leave. I have the next 2 weeks off.
Nice.
And we'll use that time greatly for TTRPGs, and podcasts.
Very
about
nice.
TTRPGs.
Perfect.
So yeah, I'm doing very well. I've already had a busy day. I, after this recording, probably just gonna flop and chill and relax and do nothing of importance at all.
That's good.
But yeah.
Just chilling.
Other than that, it's all really good. I have a long TTRPG session tomorrow on Saturday. And then I have a week full of TTRPG sessions before me.
Very good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Any specific sessions you're looking forward to?
All of them, obviously.
Perfect. Yes, I was hoping for that.
Tomorrow I have The Dark Eye with my longest running group of all time, where we will be traveling mostly, I think. Traveling along a very well-built road, a very established road in the central kingdom of this continent to a wedding, where we will be investigating for the intelligence agency of the kingdom.
All right. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how far we will get. I don't know necessarily yet what our exact task is. Mm-hmm. We were asked by them to go to that wedding. It probably all has to do with our bigger quest to figure out where the shards of the demon crown are and make sure that it never gets rebuilt. Because that would be very, very dangerous and very, very frightening for this world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's that. And yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be probably an 8 to 9 hour session the whole day, starting at 10 a.m. with breakfast and with the group, and then playing until probably evenings, until it gets dark. We will figure it out as we go.
All right, sounds fun.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And aside from that, I also have a session on Thursday, for sure, next week, which will be the second session of our Storm King's Thunder campaign, or of a ported version of Storm King's Thunder, where the GM made sure that basically we all lost our memory, aside from a few key details about our character, and also don't know anything about our characters. We spent the first session figuring out what each other's classes and lineages and backgrounds and basically everything is. So I'm playing a Fire Genasi Barbarian Urban Bounty Hunter.
Okay, that sounds like an interesting combo.
Yeah, it wasn't made by me.
Yeah, but it's still an interesting combo.
Yeah, it is. Quite interesting, I have to say. It made me think a lot about non-traditional styles of play for games like for games like D&D. Just saying, right? This, okay, none of you know what your classes and races are, basically, and you have to figure that out as you play. I'm gonna be honest, I was skeptic of the idea as a whole, because especially D&D is a power fantasy about your character. Yeah. If you don't create the character you want, it can quickly become just a drag to play this character. So far, so good. Though it is kind of fun. But it's also, it was a little bit frustrating when we made our first checks and our GM basically told us what our values were. Like, right, okay, I investigate this place. Okay, make an investigation check. I roll the dice. Okay, it's a 5 on the die. And then the GM tells you, okay, plus 0, that's that. All my mental stats are plus 0. Which, okay, I mean, for Barbarian, it kind of is okay because you will need all 3 of your physical stats. But at the same time, it is very frustrating when all the checks you do in an entire session are plus 0, plus 0, plus 0, plus 0. And you sit there and look at your GM. Why do I even do this?
For the off chance of the 20, you know?
Yeah, no, there was no 20. There was a lot of ones, though. So
nice. You took a you took a page out of my playbook. Very good.
Yeah, so I have a lot of fun sessions planned and looking forward to as well. And yeah, I also had the first session of Pen and Pals, our new show here at Double DM that we're doing, which was a lot of fun. It's going to be a very different show from what Double DM currently does, but it's also not going to be a new actual play. It's going to be something in between. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I'm not gonna talk about what happened, but it was just a lot of fun. I cannot wait to bring this new show to highlight duo and solo and journaling TTRPGs to other people, because I think, not having played many of these games, but having played a few, these games do deserve to be highlighted so fucking much. So how about you?
Well, my week is definitely not so packed as yours, especially in regards to TTRPGs. My week isn't as packed as yours, especially in regards to TTRPGs. I have one session on Sunday. My usual Tuesday group moved to Sunday for the last month now. And yeah, that session is going to take place, which I'm super stoked about, because now we are getting into the thick of this whole thing about the witch in the snowstorm in the middle of the mountains thingamajig. They finally found this small cluster of smaller villages that kind of try to work together, but also kind of hate each other to survive in the snowstorm, because one village has firewood, the other has food. So yeah, we kind of need each other to stay alive. And we did trade for the last 10 years as the snowstorm has been going on, but we kind of hate that we are dependent on each other. So fuck you. That kind of vibe. And yeah, they entered this small village cluster, finally started to talk to some people there, and yeah, did something really stupid to get from one village to another. The snowstorm intensified by a lot, and they knew that the blizzard was like going to take place over 6 hours roughly, and they decided to still walk through it to get to the next village instead of hunkering down somewhere and trying to wait that out. No, let's go through a blizzard without a clue necessarily where the next village is, per se, with a visibility that is basically non-existent. And yeah, okay, you have cold weather clothing, but is it fit to take temperatures of minus 60 degrees while walking and trying to find your fucking way? I don't know. So yeah, they trekked 5 hours through a blizzard, and now some of them got a couple of levels of exhaustion. That's fun. Right?
Yeah.
Or at least it is for me.
I mean, that's what counts in this space, because this is about GMs and having fun. So yeah, I concur.
And since we switched our rest system to the gritty realism rules a couple of sessions ago, now getting rid of exhaustion is a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Is one it level per long rest, right?
Is it the full long rest is 7 days?
5 days. 5 days. It's a 1 week in my homemade calendar.
Okay, yeah, sure. In my game, yeah, in one of my games, it's 10 days as a calendar, as calendar week. So, but it's a full week. I mean, actually, that's a fun thing to talk about. Write it down for an episode of Double DM. There isn't much you can actually do to play around with environments, at least game design wise, because exhaustion is there, conditions are there, which kind of the same thing. Exhaustion is a condition.
Or you have direct damage.
Damage, which is completely fucking boring.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the optional rules of gritty realism, for example, making sure that these hostile environments that give you exhaustion do something. Why is there no freezing condition? Why is there no heated condition or overheated? Mm-hmm. That's something to talk about.
But we'll do that in another episode.
We will do that in another episode. That's definitely fun to think about, however, because I like doing the same thing, right? I had a swamp that was cursed, more or less.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Cursed swamps.
As my players went through it, they basically accumulated stacks of curse, which was per one day you spend in the swamp, you gain a stack of curse. When you're at 10 stacks of this curse, you become irrational. You don't become mad or lose control of your character, but your character becomes irrational.
Mm.
They want out of this swamp. They fucking want out.
Yeah.
And then again, at the same time, I gave them exhaustion. And it accumulated faster than they could long rest per day. So every encounter that I basically placed along the way, when they chose to engage with it and failed their checks in whatever way, they got exhaustion. Because trekking through the swamp, it is increasingly humid, it is increasingly dirty, it is increasingly infectious. And then you're doing straining work on your body, like climbing trees, climbing cliffs, walking through a fucking sinkhole.
Yeah, just everything of that added together, especially, is just extraordinarily exhausting.
And I was like, I want to have something fun with that, but I had to make my own idea about it. I needed to add something to it to make sure that gameplay wise it was felt, because also for every stack of curse they got a -1 to their checks. So when they were at like 7 days in, they had a -7 to every check.
Yikes.
Which was an incentive for them to move along more quickly, because the longer they stay, the worse it will get, because you will accumulate everything faster. You will accumulate detrimental effects faster and faster and faster. Sure, there were ways to clear this curse. They had lesser restoration available, but only so much of it.
Exactly. And yeah.
But with that cut here, we don't want to discuss that any further, because that is definitely a full entire episode to talk about.
Hell yeah.
Anything else happened for you that you want to talk about? Anything fun you have coming up that you want to highlight?
Just a quick thing. I put up some pictures in my living room, so now it's decorated. I am going to send you some pictures later. And next weekend, I am in Prague for a couple of days.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a birthday gift from a couple of coworkers that I got yesterday. They just said, hey, we all are on vacation at the same time. Here, let's go to Prague for 3 days. Ta-da. Nice. And now I am going to Prague.
Hey, that's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm excited to go there because Prague is a nice city. I really like it. Mm. It's beautiful and you can just do so many great things there, especially if you're with good friends. And yeah, just enjoy the time. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Nice.
And
okay.
Cool. That's about it.
Cool. Okay. So, and I think with that, we've talked about everything we can in this week's recap. And we will see you all after our break and talk about ideal session prep. Hey, listener, how are you enjoying the show so far? Tell us about it in whatever way you see fit. Go to our social media pages and add us or DM us about your favorite episode of the show. We would love to hear from you on what impact our show might have had on your home games. Or you could review us on your podcast app of choice and leave us a nice message with a 5-star review. And if you want to go above and beyond, bring a friend into the fold. Tell them about our show and refer us to them so they can get a piece of the pie as well. Thank you for listening to Double DM and joining us on this incredible journey.
So, Emil, in my usual TTRPG group, we have started the new arc for my campaign.
Okay.
Or in my campaign.
Okay.
Let's just say the first session didn't go as I thought it might.
Okay. Why is that?
Because they had like 5 to 7 different plot hooks they could follow. I introduced 2 new characters because I got 2 new players. Introduced a new story hook with that too. And they followed that, which I had not prepared at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything. I just had the idea for that plot hook.
Okay, yeah.
But now they said, yeah, let's go that way. Sure.
I mean, yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Now I have to plan new shit.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, let's do that. But the question is how? Where do I start? So yeah, let's talk a bit about planning and shit, right? Okay. Because players always do different stuff than you usually think about.
Yeah.
And then you have to plan anew.
Yeah, so 100%.
The first question I'm going to throw at you would be, what is your first thing that you think about when you have to plan anew?
It entirely depends on the situation I'm in, obviously. So I'm going to use just the example that I have for my current game, because I've been starting a new campaign recently. I have a bunch of new players, 2 of them very new to D&D, like have played one campaign before or a part of a campaign before and never else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 3 rather seasoned veteran-y players, right? And I was like, okay, so how do I prep this? And let's say for about a week or something, I was like, okay, how do I even fucking prep a new campaign? How does this shit even work? I have no idea anymore. That's where I start. Having no fucking idea what's gonna happen or how it even works to get to play. It's like I need to learn it every single time anew how to even do this fucking shit.
Yeah, I get that.
And I think that is not just because I'm an idiot. That is part of the reason why. The thing is actually more that, well, every campaign, every session is different. You need to prep slightly different for every campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously lay yourself ground rules and guidelines to your session prep. And some games, especially good games with a lot of GM support, do give you good guidelines on what to do per session. Like, for example, Masks recently, which is a campaign I've been starting, or which is a game I've been running now for 2 sessions. So not that much, but a third session on the way and stuff like that, right? Masks is very different from D&D, from the more fantasy traditional D20 games. And the prep looks different because the prep in Masks for me is literally just making sure that I have 1 good thing per session. A villain is in the 2 cases that we have had right now, it is a villain. I basically only set a stage. Like, for example, in session 2, there's a mega mall that currently has a false alarm, or that has an alarm, a silent alarm triggered. The heroes are supposed to investigate. And then there is a villain, and I have nothing else. Because Masks wants you to not do that, not prep. Okay, there's these other NPCs in the mall. Okay, sure, you can prep a few NPCs, obviously. But Masks doesn't want you to have a full plan of the mall. Masks doesn't want you to know what is behind every corner. Mask wants you to figure that out once the characters even turn the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be prepared for if they do. You only need to know what happens in the moment of play.
Yeah.
And that is very important. And I took some of that for my TTRPG games. But you need to prep every game differently. You need to prep every campaign differently. You need to look out for so many different factors. So it is different in every game. And some games, again, give you these guidelines, like Masks, for example, saying, wait for things to happen, rely on your players to do stuff. And when you as the GM don't know what to do, either ask players or do a move. And that is what I have, right? I have a villain that has moves, like the characters do in Masks. And whenever I feel like, okay, I need to push something forward, I just do one of the moves from the villain or from the environment, even from the surroundings. There could be moves from that too. But anytime there's a lull in conversation, just do something. And that fits in the moment to shift it up.
Mm.
And that is basically all you need to do for Masks. I have a stage, which is, for example, a mall, just a big mega mall, which is a great place for an encounter to take place. I have a villain prepared, and then I have just some random stuff, maybe not noted down about stuff. And then the only thing I still have in Masks is an NPC name generator list.
Mm.
I have like 30 names for male, female, and androgynous names that can be used, and then I just take them off when I use them. Easy peasy. I don't need more prep than that. And I can write that prep in like 10 minutes before a session even starts.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. In other games, it's different. And for other people, it will be different. For other characters, it will be different. For other plot lines, it will be different. I might be needing more or even less time to run masks in the future for different other games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's so many different factors, so it's very hard to answer the question, how do you even start to plan or to prep something? Because I don't know. For a long time, I'm just like, how do I even do this? And at some point, I have an idea and go with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I wanted out of this question, to be honest. Mm. Is to show that there is no true one way to go about planning or prepping or whatever, because it's so fucking different and so dependent on the situation the campaign is currently in, the players are currently in, and you are currently in. Mm-hmm. And I think what it just boils down to overall is have a seed, have a spark, have something that you can work off of to then start the prep or planning or whatever, because you need that initial idea. You need that thing that basically connects to everything from that starting point. And that starting point is something that you have to find through whatever means you want. It can be through consuming media that might fit the tone of the campaign or the session that you want to run or that you all agree to run. Or it could be just doing random shit to just get your mind off of it and then have that one spark. But how to get inspiration, we talked about that already. But that's basically what we need. We need that nucleus where everything starts from to begin prep and planning. Yeah. And then you can see where that starting point leads you toward. And then once you have that and you have a rough direction, because that's what the tone of the campaign slash the session decides, more or less, you have different points that you can then start to tackle. You might also have to work backwards a bit because you just had an idea for the middle part of the session. That works as well. Yeah. But you have your directions, your rough directions, and a starting point. And from there, you can branch out of and create new starting points that branch out of again, and so on and so on and so forth, until it makes a web of session prep or planning prep that you feel comfortable with running the session. How deep or how complicated or how detailed it might be is completely up to you and whatever you need to run the session the way you want to run the session. But you have that underlying groundwork all from that one starting point.
100% true. I think one thing that I always think of sessions as is a session is just about getting from point A to point B. And that means from the starting point of the session to the end point of a session. Mm-hmm. Now, the important part about a session prep is that that path from A to B cannot be planned out. It can be prepared, not planned.
Exactly.
The only thing that you can plan is the starting point, point A. That is the thing you can actually plan in a TTRPG. In a TTRPG session, you can make that point clear. And that is, and that is something you need to know. Use that point from wherever your last session ended, or for example, when your campaign starts. Find a good starting point. Mm-hmm. Find an event. Find a trigger for anything that can set off an adventure. And then at the end of a session, you only find your point B. You don't know point B before the session has ended.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, however, that you can still prepare the path to that hypothetical point B. You can still prepare and kind of at least gauge where it is going to go, what is going to happen. Like, for example, right, you said you have given your players a lot of different plot hooks and they took none of them and chose the one that you just didn't think they would go with.
Yeah.
The thing there is, right, you gave them the plot hook.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is obviously not to say that you or anyone that has this happen to them, that it's your fault, but you gave them the plot hook.
Exactly.
You need to expect them that there's at least a chance that they will take it.
Exactly. And the thing about that is that campaign takes place on a group of four islands, basically. They were more or less done with this one island where they currently are, or they don't have any current running plot hooks there, or none that they could follow currently with the information that they have. So I knew point A was that one island, but point B wasn't on that island anymore. That's the only thing that I knew.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to prepare or plan for them to exit their ship on one of the other three islands that they are.
Yeah.
But I didn't know which. And that's where you can plan, hey, you have to end the session somewhere, not on the island where you started or where you started, definitely somewhere, but you don't know where that is.
Yeah.
Just it cannot be the same starting point.
I mean, even if the session ends at the same point where it started, that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. You could have still made progress in any way possible. For example, you could have figured, the characters could have just talked for 3 hours in the tavern room and figured shit out for their next adventure. And then they say, okay, now we need to do this. That is not a bad session. A session isn't measured by how far it went in any hypothetical distance measurement, be that time or actual distance traveled by the characters. That's not the way it works. The way it works is, first of all, the only measurement for a session is, did you have fun? But aside from that, aside from the obvious, did you have fun, which we don't need to talk about, that is a clear thing that always exists. You need to have fun for a session to be good. And again, did it drive something? Point B doesn't have to be a physical point. It doesn't have to be even a real checkpoint of progression in the story.
Exactly.
But it can be a simple, okay, the players now use the time to make sure that they are prepared for their adventure that I had already planned.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you might have not necessarily needed the prep time for that adventure that you have already kind of planned for them. For example, right, your players know that they have to go into the icy, jagged mountains, and it's a dangerous journey there, and they use the entire session where you already thought they would be going to just get equipment, figure shit out, and understand how to traverse the landscape.
Exactly.
That is not necessarily, that is still a good session.
Hmm.
Maybe not the way you expected it to go, and that is entirely fine, but it's still a good session because it still drove them from, okay, let's go on an adventure, to we are ready for an adventure.
Exactly. And this point A, point B thing isn't a location or a time where you have to be at point A or point B, or when you have to be at point X for point A and point B. It's rather a theoretical point, or two theoretical points on a meta level between or in the session where you have a start and a finish.
Yeah.
You have to start the session somewhere or at some point or something. You have to start the session to have a session. Surprise, surprise. And you have to finish a session to have another one in the future. So these are the point A and point B, the start and the finish of that, not necessarily physical locations in your TTRPG or in your current campaign where they literally started their journey and finished their journey. That's just as a clarification here again. Yeah.
It's a very big pitfall for especially newer GMs. I know I've been falling into it for some time when I started playing as a GM. If there isn't necessarily any clear progress easily seen by the advancement, for example, on a map or on a hypothetical map at least, or any kind of new advancement in the story, right? They learned something new about the villain. It is very easy to feel that the session is wasted.
Mm.
Especially if you've put in a lot of work to preparing challenges, environments, people, locations, whatever, right? And none of that gets seen.
Yeah.
None of that was shown that session. And it is frustrating. It is just a frustrating thing. We don't need to discuss that it isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it isn't a bad thing that the players didn't get to that part, but it is still a frustrating thing for a GM to feel like they've wasted all that time only for this next block of stuff only to happen in like a week or two or three or even a month or even longer than that when the game plays again. It is a little frustrating, yes, and I know it. And let's be honest, I have no idea really how to combat that. I have found out that my session prep isn't necessarily all that needed to have a good session at all for my players and myself. And it is frustrating if I do prep too much and none of that gets used. So I prep less. I prep in a different way. I don't prep necessarily all things in a detailed way. I get extra time. I don't use that much time, and I'm not that frustrated. But that is a me thing. If that is not the way you act as a GM, on the way you need to do it as a GM for you to feel comfortable to run a game, then yeah. The thing is, as a GM, if you have these campaign notes and sessions where it feels like no progress is made, none of the stuff you prepped this week gets discovered, and you really wanted that stuff to be discovered, I'm gonna give you the complete allowance you're allowed to fucking nudge your players in subtle ways. If you have a combat encounter or an event prepped that triggers at a certain, the thing is, right, when we prep in a way that is if then that, it often can lead to that. The players never meet the condition of that encounter, and therefore never get the encounter, and your encounter is wasted prep.
Yeah.
I think that is not necessarily that bad of prep, because it is very easy to apply, especially for newer GMs. It is very easy to understand, but it does have pitfalls. And it has a lot of pitfalls. And the first thing about that is that condition. Don't even have that condition in the first place. Or not necessarily do not have that restrictive conditions in the first place, right? For example, only if the players travel along this mountain path, they will find a bandit camp. If your players at any given point in time on their travel decide to not go that path, your bandit camp is useless. Your encounter is kind of fucked. Now, you can obviously move that encounter around. You can obviously quantum ogre it, and I'm not going to be the one to tell you that you can't do it. It's not the way I would do it. But what I do, for example, is instead of explicitly stating, hey, on this mountain path, at this specific point in location, at this specific point in time, there's bandits there, I'm just going to say, yeah, the mountains are bandit infested. And
exactly.
At given certain paths, there's going to be bandits. And if my players then take precautions to avoid bandits, they still deal with the encounter.
Exactly.
The encounter isn't bandits along this path at this specific point in time doing this specific thing. The encounter is there is bandits in the mountains. If you don't do anything to avoid them, you will meet them and have to face the encounter on a combat level, for example. But if you avoid them first by, for example, hiding yourself, tracking the path to make sure that you don't walk into traps, that is still a way to deal with the encounter.
Exactly.
And that is only because I prepped the encounter entirely in a different fucking way than anyone, than what is usually done or what I've done in the past. Then that encounter is wasted. Yeah, because I prepped a fucking game where it's about meeting these bandits. No, it's not about meeting these bandits. It's about dealing with the bandits in the mountains in the first place. I broadened the encounter to make sure it is more applicable to the general session.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly where the pitfall for newer GMs lies, or that I've fallen into myself back in the day. It's basically I was a bit scared of having broad, non-specific encounters for my players. How do I deal with how they deal with it? What can I do in that regard? But let me tell you, it might be scary, or it definitely will be scary for some people. But as soon as you enter that encounter, like, let's go with that example, bandits in the fucking mountains, as an encounter itself, it gets so easy because you don't have to do anything. You can just react to what your players want to do. And if they do nothing, you still have a plan how that encounter or that's something that you can plan decisively and detailed. What will happen if the characters don't do anything to avoid bandits or to do X? If they don't do anything, X happens. And then the rest is just reaction on your part. And it seems scary, but it really is easier than not reacting, than having your complete plan wasted and nothing happened in the first place.
I always think about constant truths when I design encounters. So for example, let's take the bandits in the mountains. There are bandits in the mountains is a constant truth. That is not a thing that is conditional. That there's not a, if my players go into the mountains and travel this path, they will meet bandits. That is a conditional truth because those bandits only exist in the play when your players do the thing. You can't expect them to do the thing. So the thing that you want to do the bandits isn't necessarily true. But saying there is bandits in the mountains is a complete truth because even if the players don't go into the mountains at all, there are still bandits now there because that is just a thing that exists. You made it so. You said that it exists. And now that's a fact you can deal with. Now you can say, okay, those bandits have these numbers. There's 100 bandits in the mountains and they are gathering more forces. That is, once again, that is not a thing that needs your players to act. That is just a truth that exists and you can deal with that. Now, okay, there's a lot of bandits in the mountains. What are they doing? Why are they there? What weapons do they have? And for example, okay, they are there because they have a certain special magical artifact that they are intend to use to destroy a town at the foot of the mountains. That is also a constant truth. That's a fact.
Yeah.
They are that. The players do not have anything to do with that yet. And that way, you've now created the bandits in the mountains and bam, done with that, and can focus once again on what do the players actually do. They know that information, and if they choose to ignore it, okay, so be it. The focus lies on the players. There was a recent post on Twitter, or X, if you really want to call it in the new way, which no one does, so Twitter, which was, what is more important, the plot or the players, or I think session or players or something, right? Basically, the story or the players. And obviously, the overwhelming amount of people was players, first and foremost. And yeah, it's entirely true. And this is exactly how you see that. The prep, I still have that encounter planned, but it's not important to me. It is a conversational, constant fact in that world now that there are bandits in the mountains, that there's a lot of them, and that they have a magical artifact. The players learn that in whatever way, and I still will focus on what they do. I do have something prepared for when they go into the mountains. I do not have a plan for what happens and that they should go into the mountains to get that magical artifact. I obviously do make it kind of appetizing for them to go into the mountains and deal with the bandits and get the magical artifact. Sure.
But that's just how hooks work.
But I do not prepare and plan on them to go into the mountains because I need them to do this and this. No, they decide what they want to do. And this is where my session prep kind of came in and is very modular. Session prep should be very modular. And what does that mean? So that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And whatever that means for you is good. But I urge you to try your session prep to be a lot more open with a lot of free gaps between certain things, especially between information, right? Don't basically write a block of information that you're going to give your players, because that's fine. That's the information you give your players. That is fine. That you should do that. Give them information. But don't write exactly another block, and now that they have that information, they should do X and X. Because first of all, that is you trying to force them to do something. Second of all, you can't expect them to even get to that same conclusion because they have different information. They have different views than you as the GM, and they are the players. They might have forgotten some stuff that you think is very important. They have forgotten it. You have to deal with that. Give them information and then leave out a space and say, I don't know what's going to happen now. I'm going to let you decide. I know who the villain is. I told you more or less where he is now. What do you do? It's not a clear, okay, now they should go there. I just know, I know the villain, I know his plan, I know the information my players have, and now, for example, I could prepare a few encounters that could happen along the way. His minions have set up traps on the way there to his magical evil tower. He has put in the landscape around the tower is warped by magic and time-altering effects and stuff like that, right? Still, no hard encounters prepped, but I can definitely am prepared for when my players start going. Then I can have that, right? And I know one of the things is, for example, especially with D&D, there is a solace in stat blocks existing.
Yeah.
For prep. If you have a stat block for a monster, that is, first of all, a lot of time shaved off your session that you don't have to prep anything else because you can just do a combat, and combat takes a long time. But also, it gives you a lot of opportunities to do certain things with the monster because you know what the monster does. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do stat blocks, right? If you have a villain and he has minions, you should have stat blocks for those minions. But you shouldn't necessarily put those stat blocks exactly in the way you want your players to go. Say that the minions exist along the path. Yeah, but it's not necessarily important to exactly have planned out the exact location where they are and then have your players go around that location just by accident. I think that's the important thing, right? When your players do something by accident, it can feel very bad. If your players do outsmart you, let them outsmart you because they dealt with the encounter.
Exactly. And that's why when I prep or plan for a session, I kind of keep the encounter location as broad as possible, because then I have all the options to use my encounters, to use the NPCs that I've created, or let the players, or in general, let the players do their thing and react with my encounters or NPCs that I've created to what my players are doing. And that's only because I can say, in the area or in the prefecture of that town, for example, or in the general vicinity of that town, that is the encounter location, more or less. Whatever way they take out of the city, there could be something happening. But that depends entirely on my players, what they want to do, where they want to exit it, and where they want to go, and what they want to do on their way there, which encounter I then use. It might be just, hey, it's a beautiful sunny day. Do you want to talk about anything? That's also an encounter that you can do, because, hey, sparking roleplay and shit, always good.
Yeah, that just works just the same.
But I have all the options available because the location of that encounter is so broad. It can be a bandit sacking the road, But if you use that, say beforehand, there have been bandit incursions lately or something along the lines of hinting that.
I mean, maybe. you don't have to say it necessarily. I'm not saying here, right, that you should always foreshadow your encounters or stuff you have planned so your players could go around it. It is a way of how you deal with it, right? If your players want to go to this city and you know they are traveling along this road, just put bandits in the way if you feel like bandits. It's not that deep, actually.
Yeah.
In most places, it's not that deep. But especially, right, when you're planning a session, it's not about making sure that the path from A to B is filled with encounters for fun stuff. It is making sure that your players can choose the path they want to go, and that path is filled with encounters and fun.
Hmm.
And that is not the illusion of choice. That is not quantum ogering. That's not anything that some people call bad. Quantum ogering is if your players do find a way to circumvent your encounter that they know exists, and you just move the encounter to a different part where they then run into it. That is quantum ogering. That is the illusion of choice. You are still allowed to mix and match the path to what the players are doing. It just needs to fit. For that, you need to be prepared, not planned. You need to be prepared. And how do you prepare? Well, preparing stuff is about having a good foundation to build upon. Mm. A session prep is about one thing for me, and that is about laying a stage. When I have a session, the thing I want to do with that session is put on a stage. My session prep is a stage for my players to play. It's a stage for me and my players to have fun. That is the foremost important thing about session prep. It's not a plan for me how the session is going to go. It's not necessarily a list of things I have to do. It is making sure that me and my players are going to be able to spend the next 4 or 3 or even 8 hours together having fun. And if that means I throw everything I have in my prep away because the first encounter takes 3 hours, then so be it. I just do not prep my encounter in a detailed way so that every encounter prep takes like 1 and 2 hours, so that I have to prep 10 encounters and basically spend 10 hours prepping and just prep 10 encounters in an hour. And the thing there is that comes a lot from you as a person. How much are you able to improvise? If you're not that comfortable with improvising, which I am, for example, not that much in many cases, in some cases I am very comfortable with it, in other cases I am totally not, you need to prep the way you need it, right? That's the thing about session prep. If your encounters take an hour to prep for whatever reason, figure out it's not a problem. It's definitely not a problem, but figure out what is taking so long. Mm-hmm. Is it coming up with ideas? That is something which we can help with. Is it making the map for every encounter? I'm going to say it. Maybe no, don't make a map for 10 encounters if your players are only going to encounter 2. Then don't make maps.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but map making takes a lot of time. You can find maps online that work. Maybe it's making the stat blocks all yourself. If that's what you enjoy, do more of it. Then do more of it. Because what you will find is not that me telling you how to do better session prep is the thing you get better or the thing you spend less and less time in prepping. It is you doing what you love about session prep. If you enjoy building those encounters and then putting them in specific locations for your players to might encounter at some point, then that is your session prep. Because that is also a part of session prep, right? If you that would not be a session prep that I necessarily enjoy that much. But if you're the type of person to just build a giant area map of the area your players are in, and every week you prep encounters, 10 of them, and 10 NPCs, and I don't know what else, another location, and you place them randomly on the map, and then you let your players run around that world. That is also a way of being prepared and not planned. Right? It's not, as long as you're not really pulling a thread through everything, making sure that your players stay along the thread, you're doing session planning or session prepping right. You're doing it correctly. It's your way of doing it. It might take a lot of time. It might take a little bit of time, but you're doing it right. The way I, for example, do it is I think about a session in more or less 3 stages. The first stage is the very simple stage. That's the stage I always start with: stage 1, then stage 2, then stage 3. Sometimes there's stage 4, depending on how long the session goes and how much I want to get done or how much stuff could get done, right? It's a little bit of an anticipation act, and it's part of that. But the one thing that you can always prep is the starting point. Hmm. You know where your players are in that moment.
That's even something that you can plan.
Yeah,
actually.
Right? Your players ended the last session exactly in this location. What can you do? You can always write a recap, or you can always make sure to recap important information. You're giving them, therefore, first of all, the information that they might need again, because, right, you haven't played for 2 weeks. So They need a reminder. But second of all, you can set the scene that they are currently in. And you can basically prepare that scene in a very heavy detail because you know that scene is going to happen. That mm-hmm. is a guaranteed way to that your time that you've invested in making that scene is going to get used. Because at this point, we are here to discuss how to make sure that the time we plan a session, we prep a session at home before the session starts, is to make sure that the time we spend is basically compensated in play. If you spend a lot of time, a lot of effort on that first scene, that effort is going to be used in that scene because that scene happens nonetheless. Your players cannot really avoid it. It's happening, right? You shouldn't have a plan for the scene anyway. Again, no planning. Prepping. It's always important to remind yourself, I'm not planning something. I'm not writing a screenplay. I am preparing a stage to play on. But you can set all the set pieces. You can basically plan out what the NPC's plan is for every single NPC. Because lo and behold, that is definitely what's going to happen. That NPC is already in the scene. They are there. They are definitely interacting. Stuff is definitely happening.
Yeah.
Then, stage two. Anything that happens immediately after that first scene. So all the surrounding area. If your first scene starts in a tavern, for example, the surrounding area would be the district, the town, the village, right? Anything that happens there, NPCs, locations, points of interest, maybe plot hooks, anything like that. Anything you need to populate the area around the first scene, which is when they exit that scene, definitely will see feels populated and interesting and engaging for them to interact with. That is stage two. You prep mostly in bullet points now and preliminary information. Like, for example, okay, right next to the tavern is a blacksmith. The blacksmith currently has a problem. And then bullet points, this is the problem, this is how the blacksmith looks, this is the character he is, and stuff like that, right? I don't know, his son is missing, okay, this is information about the son, right? Information about the preliminary scene and the surrounding area that gives you a point, basically a second point. And you want your players to spend a lot of time in that second area, more or less. Or you want to make sure that everything you put into area two, more or less, is the main part of your session. I'm not going to tell you that each session should be structured, but there's a structure, session structure theory that is 1-2-1 if your session is 4 hours long. The first scene takes 1 hour, the second part takes 2 hours, and the third thing takes 1 hour again, and then the session is over. That is a good thing, but I'm just going to say, right, the first scene is very detailed. The second scene or all the scenes after that are more or less based only on information. And then the third ring or the third stage is anything leading out from that. So, okay, the blacksmith's son is missing. Then in stage three, for example, you could define the people that took the son, why they took the son, where the son is being kept. Basically, just strands of information that pull out from that second stage into a direction. That is the way I prep. One detailed heavy scene, then a lot of preliminary information about the surrounding area that my players might need and want to have. And there's hooks in there, there's stuff in there and stuff like that. And then third, just strands that go on and on into any different direction so that everything they do in stage two leads to some certain outcome. And that's basically all I prep.
And for me, it looks kind of similar, but kind of different in a way. What I like to do is to plan out the plans of my NPCs or what would happen if nobody interfered in any capacity.
Yeah.
Be it positive or negative, especially for my villains or antagonists. That's a bit more detail or a bit more of a detailed plan of what is going to happen if no one counteracts that, but in a rough way for more or less every NPC. And that is something that I can plan out because if nothing intervenes, that will happen because that's just how the world works. Because booyah. What I cannot plan is how my characters or my players interact with these plans of those NPCs. So I just have to prepare or have all of the plans of the NPCs that they might encounter prepared. So I plan out the exposition. I plan out the exposition of every session with a short recap. That's something that I can plan out to recap what happened in the last two sessions and the stage setting where they currently are. That is something that cannot be changed, more or less. And then I just make it more open and just open it up wider and wider with every second, basically, that the session is going on. I then describe something that might that the surroundings might be. And then the players come into play and basically turn everything that you have upside down. But that's what we're here for, so we don't have anything on the fucking table when it gets flipped. So you then have just four table legs standing up in the air. Ta-da! What do you do now? That's something for your players to decide as well. Do they kick them off or do they just return the table to the normal position? I don't know. Yeah. But I know what the table will do if no one interacts with the fucking table. That's the way I prepare my sessions, with having a plan for the NPCs or for everything that the player characters do not control. And then react to the ways my players interact with the things that they do not control themselves.
Yeah.
So they influence everything that is going on. Without active participation of my players, the world just works as it would work. And every character would do what they would do or what they want to do with the certain ways they want to do things, or they will do things or only have access to that certain way. But insert the characters and they're open. This opens up new ways for characters to interact and change up their own plans. But that's something that I can plan beforehand, because I know what my player characters are, what they can do, because I have the character sheets usually, more or less. So I can plan certain things, what my NPCs would plan, to then change up and prepare how my characters interact with that. I don't plan how my characters or when my characters interact with that person. I can just prepare what that person could do or would do if they interacted with that. But because it's just a rough plan and nothing super detailed, it's not a not much of a problem. For example, this one herbalist in my town has a plan of gathering all the herbs or on that island and replant them, and have a this whole shop basically being just out of plants, more or less. You don't see any walls, just full of plants. And that's a plan. That's all the plan that I have. He wants a fucking plant shop. Ta-da. How my characters interact with that, I don't know. But I know what this character wants. And that's all that I have planned and therefore prepared, because I don't plan anything to do anything with that character. Just planning what the character wants to do. And then the characters enable or enable that, help with that, or just ignore it. And if they ignore it, it doesn't matter to me. Because the plan I have for that minor NPC that just sells herbs is, he wants a plant shop. And he will try everything to get that in his power. That's all the planning or all the prep that I need for that NPC to kind of be prepared for the interactions my players could have with that. And then looks, can be as broad as you want, or mostly for minor NPCs that don't take up a huge role, will be rough at first, rough exterior description. And the more important they get, even though they might have started as a minor NPC, every time they meet that NPC, they get a little more detail to that. That's just something that I do when they decide to interact with an NPC more often. The description gets more detailed every time.
Yeah. A few things that we can now gauge from both of us having explained how we prep is that there's a few teachings about preparing a session that I think are universally more or less true. The important part about the session prep is facts. Factual information. Knowing what is actual reality about an environment, about NPCs, about anything about the game, right, is helpful because it allows you to paint the correct picture. It's not about necessarily knowing every detail of something, but it's when you have a plot, a mystery plot, someone is missing. For example, in my new campaign, the prince of a country is missing. And the king is hiring every adventurer that he can find, figure out where his son went. Whoever brings the son back gets a giant bag of gold, gets a deed to a land, and all of that stuff, right? So much stuff. A big reward. The fact is, the prince is missing, obviously. Now, then again, I, for example, have facts about the scene prepped where the players are allowed to enter the prince's room and investigate. There is facts there. For example, there are two goblets on the table. Not one, but two. In one of the goblets, there is a certain substance next to the wine. There is a burnt piece of paper in the next to the fireplace. There is ripped clothing next to the bed. Those are facts. They are factual facts in the world that my players can gather and make their own conclusions. I do not say this fact leads to that conclusion. I do say this is a fact. This exists. And knowing what exists gives me a good opportunity to run a session, because I know what's happening. I know what the thing, what is there and what is not. That is important. Second of all, you can also obviously focus on non-factual things. Rumors, lies, deceit, stuff that appears like it's true, but is exactly not. And for example, I've done this before, I'm probably going to do it again. When I write NPCs, And I love writing down different facts about that NPC next to all the normal information that I normally prep. And sometimes I write down the fact, for example, and then I write down more or less statements about the NPC, either from other or this NPC. And I mark them as either true or false.
Okay, that's fun.
So for example, this person might be going, oh, I can deadlift 300 pounds, while they can't even deadlift 150 pounds. That is still a statement that they made. And the players are allowed to believe or non-believe it. But the statement has been made. That is a fact again. That the statement itself is false is something I just need to know.
Exactly.
The statement has been made. That is important. And I need to know the factual information about the statement. Anything else I can play with, because then I know these are the facts. This is how everything presents, and this is how it's perceived as well, right? I know perception and I know the facts. And if, especially if there's a disconnect between perception and fact, that is the interesting part. Who is lying? What is wrong here? Stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, factual information doesn't need to be perfect at all times, right? The clues in the prince's chamber do lead to certain different ways, to certain conclusions. Yeah, sure, I can make my own conclusions. I know what happened and wrote down facts based on that so they can make the right conclusions. But I'm not saying what conclusions they need to make. They need to follow their conclusions. That is one thing. And the second thing that we've seen is focus. When you do your session prep, and this is an advice for everyone, figure out what you're good at and what you like to do, and focus on that. If you like writing environments, focus on environments. Then your session prep will come through environments. If you love writing NPCs, write NPCs. Because session prep is about making sure that the game session, which is a day or two or even just a few hours away, is fun. But that doesn't mean that the time you're spending preparing for that session doesn't have to be fun. If you have fun at a certain aspect of the game, then do that aspect more. I don't give a fuck. You just lean on what you love. And when you love writing NPCs, write more NPCs to support your session. Sure, you might be missing environments, or your environments might not necessarily be the best. You can always still work on environments when you have the capacity to do that.
Exactly.
Or you can figure environments out through other different means. But if your NPCs are good, that is one thing that you can lean on for your session prep. You don't need to be a master at everything, and you don't need to have to prep a session perfectly every time. But at least make the most part of your prep fun and exciting for you if you need it. And that is by doing the thing that you want to do. If it's NPCs, do NPCs and lean on NPCs. If you prep your NPCs and, for example, you prep the king's court of a certain country, then when you later have to create the environment of that country, the different regions of the country, look to every single nobleman in the room. What are they like? What is their personality? Are they more quiet? Are they grim? Are they a little bit more steeled nerves, stuff like that, right? Are they a little bit more, not necessarily lofty? They're not happy. They're not cheerful. Instead of explicitly saying that their demeanor is a reflection of their country, when you prep their region, make sure that you lean on that NPC that you've already prepped. They're kind of mean. They're kind of standoffish. They're a loner. Maybe that's because the region that they have at this king's courts, which have all been divided up to these different noblemen, is a swamp. They have drawn the shitty card. Yeah, they're a little bit mean and standoffish because they obviously have the worst plot of land. But you don't need to necessarily prep the environment to figure out that NPC, right? You have prepped the NPC already. You want them to be standoffish. And now when you have to prep the environment, just use the NPC as your fucking template.
Exactly. Whatever you prep first is a support for what you prep next, because you have a foundation to work off. You have that from the beginning, you have that starting point where you can branch off of and make different shit.
There's one thing that is really important about session prep for me, and that comes the longer you play. For a one shot, this might not necessarily be the most important thing, but connectivity is so important. And I can't overstate this. After a friend has helped me and made me change the note-taking app from OneNote to Obsidian that I use. The graph view of Obsidian is the most godsend feature for TTRPG prep. I can make webs of NPCs that know each other, that hate each other. I can make relationship maps with that. I can create so much different stuff. I have a canvas feature where I can map relationships again. I have so much options to show my notes in a connected way. And the connectivity is the important part, because then everything links back to each other. An NPC is connected to a location. A location is connected to a plot. That NPC is also connected to the plot. Other NPCs are connected to the plot. They are connected to the land. They are connected to an artifact. That artifact is connected to the person originally from it. And from that, you build a web of engaging, interesting storylines and interesting plot hooks and interesting moments for your game. And then you just put your players in there and they can travel along every path into every direction, because you are connected. The nobleman that they've just visited knows someone in the county next over, like a knight living just a few two day travels. The nobleman that they've just talked to knows a knight 2 days travel into that direction west, where the players have to go, and he says, yeah, sure, you can stay at his mansion, just tell him I sent you or stuff like that. And then when they get there, that knight is murdered. Now they're kind of invested, or not necessarily invested, but they are part of that. They are part of the game now, more or less.
Yeah.
If you have that connectivity, it is very easy to throw your players in and let them and be prepared for wherever they go, because you are connected. Everything, everywhere they go, there is something that they can already relate to or know of in some certain way, or can connect back to, because they've met the nobleman of this swampland already. Hmm. Now they say, okay, let's go meet him again. Stuff like that. And that is so important. And the friend really, really, really well helped me in understanding this and doing this. And I'm so fucking glad he did and helped me with that.
Hmm.
So thank you. And yeah, that's how you prep a good session.
Yeah,
do what you love. Focus. Make sure that you focus on facts and make sure that stuff is connected, really. And then just do the way you do it.
Hell yeah. I have nothing to add to that. So thank you all for listening. Hear you on the next one. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Double DM. It appears you liked this one, what we had to say, and our advice helped you. Why not show us how we helped you in a rating, or even write a review detailing us how we helped? You can do this on the platform that you are listening on right now. It's just a few clicks, doesn't take long, and helps us out. It gets us out there and our advice into more ears of more people. Thanks again for listening and joining us on this amazing journey. Have a great day, and see you on the next one. Bye-bye.